We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumski, and I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark. I'm coming to you from Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis. Still snow-covered, John. It's hanging around, but I'm in my office right here in the church where I serve as pastor.
And we're hoping that by the time this airs, which will be in a couple weeks, that maybe we'll see grass again.
That would be nice.
How many hours did you say we've had below zero weather?
Over 240 hours below freezing, which for St. Louis is pretty remarkable. And especially when you have a few inches of snow on the ground, it causes the snow to overstay its welcome, John.
That's right. Overstay its welcome. Of course, people in Minnesota are just laughing because snow never goes away.
Yep.
But yeah, for us, that's unusual. By the way, before we begin, I would like to do another 60 minutes of dumb jokes. And I know we just did this a couple of weeks ago, but this is the last episode that we will record before Lent starts. And of course, you know, our tradition is that during Lent, we don't do the dumb jokes. In fact, I was talking to Lynn. I was saying, you know, that's our tradition, that we don't want to do jokes that make people laugh during Lent. And she said, oh, so you guys celebrate Lent all the time, huh?
Very funny, Lynn.
That's what I get from Lynn.
She's probably right.
Well, yeah. So when you hear these, she's probably hit it right on the nail right on the head.
Okay.
So you got your timer set. Let me know.
Yeah, let's get it out of our system, John. All right.
Okay.
Then we'll be okay for those 40 days of Lent.
Give me a countdown.
So, okay, we got 60 seconds. Is that what I'm setting my timer for?
Yeah, 60 seconds. Because, you know, the FCC got after us because we were doing 100. And really, 60 is all you're allowed for a half-hour show.
Yeah, I almost forgot that.
Well, don't do it because we got in trouble for that.
Oh, I know. How could I forget the litigation, the court dates? Oh, my goodness. How could I forget?
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
Some people have a lot of trouble sleeping. Me, I can do it with my eyes closed. In my school days, I did well in every subject except Greek mythology. You could say that class was my Achilles elbow. I kept wondering why the ball was floating towards me. Then it hit me. I got back from my once-in-a-lifetime vacation, and I'll tell you what, never again. You heard of Murphy's Law, right? Don't interrupt me with your laughter. It says that anything that can go wrong will go wrong. That's Murphy's Law. But have you heard of Cole's Law? It's thinly sliced cabbage. My fear of moving stairs is escalating. Two hats were hanging on a hat rack in the hallway. One hat said to the other, you stay here. I'll go on ahead. There was a recent study that tried to pinpoint the effect that alcohol had on walking. The result was staggering. Learning how to collect trash wasn't that hard. I just picked it up as I went along.
All right, John.
Okay, good.
We're good.
I only had one left.
Please stop.
That was good.
Look, please stop. Do you want to work it in, John?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
We'll be doing this 6 weeks from now.
Can I tell you one, John?
I would love one.
Yeah. So this is someone from my Bible class here at Ascension. Natalie has told this joke, and it was a child opened up a wardrobe, and inside they found a lion.
And no.
I know, imagine that. And the kid said, what are you doing here? And the lion answered, Narnia business.
But see, that's too sophisticated. I don't have that kind of sophisticated C.S. Lewis kind of humor.
I told her. I'm like, that's kind of a highbrow literary joke.
Narnia business. Okay. Well, enjoy it, people, because that's all you're going to get for another 6 weeks. So there you go. Matthew 5.
Yes. All right, John. Matthew 5. Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount.
This actually will be a text that people probably have already heard. I'm preaching on it this coming Sunday. It's why it's on my mind. And it starts with these beautiful words. If you wouldn't mind reading Matthew 5, 13 through 16.
Here we go. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven."
So what we want to talk about this week on Wrestling with the Basic is, what does it mean to be the salt? What does it mean to be the light? What is the essence of those things? Because that's what Christ is calling us all to be. And I would ask you what it means, but you'll give me a religious answer, so I don't want that. Okay.
A pastor answer.
Yeah. No, and you do, because I just want to get, I was thinking about what would most people, in fact, probably non-Christian people, if you ask them what it is to be light and salt. And I would suggest that most people probably would say, well, it's to be good, right? That's what it is, to be good, to follow the rules, do the right thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's what the Pharisees would have said. They were all about keeping the rules, right? In fact, they love rules so much, Matt, they made up extra rules. The rules that they had in the Bible weren't sufficient. So they had the tradition of the elders, which they called a hedge around the law of God. The idea being, if you keep our rules, then certainly you will be keeping God's rules as well. If God said to fast once a year, which is what he said, well, we'll fast every month. So see, we got it all made then. And the thing I want to point out, I can ask you, because I think I'll get the answer I'm looking for, I hope. Is it bad to keep the rules, Matt? Is it wrong to want to keep the rules?
No, that's a good thing, John. That's a good thing. And, you know, I think of the law and, you know, the laws of our own nation, you know, and if you keep the rules, it's a good thing, not only for you, but it's a good for your neighbor too. It's good for the people around you.
So it's good. You said that because you agree with Jesus.
All right.
And the one thing you and I have noted, it's always good to agree with Jesus, whatever you say. So if you wouldn't mind reading the next two verses, by the way, all of this is coming from the Sermon on the Mount. So here's what Jesus immediately says after being light and being salt. Verse 17 and 18 and 19 even. Yeah.
Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, unless heaven and earth pass away, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven."
All right, so obviously Jesus thinks the law, the rules are good. In fact, I'm not getting rid of any of them, not even the smallest one. I'm not an iota or a dot. Now, I don't know about the traditions of the elders, because I don't know that much about the Pharisaical rules. But certainly I can understand why Jesus would say that. Why is the law a good thing? Why would Jesus say that we don't want to get rid of the law, man?
Yeah.
I'm talking about God's law now, not laws that men make up. But
you bet. Yeah. You know, if you think about what we might call the moral law in the Bible, I think probably most of us probably think of the Ten Commandments, and Jesus summarizes them with, you know, love the Lord your God, right, with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, in general, God knows what he's talking about. I would say in general, God always knows
again,
what he's talking about, right?
You're two for two. Whatever Jesus says and whatever God says. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
So God knows what he's talking about. And, you know, as Lutherans sometimes we talk about the three uses of the law, right, John?
Yep.
And we talk about, the law is a curb and it keeps good order in our lives and in our world. And, you know, what a blessing that is. And a mirror showing us our sin, our need for a savior, and then a guide showing us, well, how do I live as a child of God? How do I live out that identity that's mine in Christ? So, those are all good things. And I think sometimes we're tempted to think, well, the law is bad. Law is bad. And gospel's good, as Lutherans. But no, the law is a good thing. It has its use, three uses, in fact. And it's meant for our good and for the good of the world.
Yeah, so it's not like your parents, because admittedly what your parents tell you to do is because they just like to boss you around. No, kids, that's not true. That's actually my point. God doesn't give his commandments because he wants to boss people around, but exactly what you said, because he cares. He loves, right? Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Those are all good things. I want people to do that for me. I should be doing it for others, okay? However, there is a problem. I'm afraid it's not enough just to keep the rules. That isn't what it is to be salt. That isn't what it is to be light. Because Jesus makes one more comment in verse 20. All right, having told us that the law is a good thing, he does make this one comment in verse 20.
Okay, here we go. Jesus says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven."
So apparently, just keeping the law isn't enough. We need something that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, who, by the way, we're all about keeping the law. I don't think we can argue that. Now, I'm going to share a little story with you. One of the problems that we have as pastors is we take the Bible in blocks, all right? So like I said, we're dealing with the Sermon on the Mount here, and I realize that I don't think I've ever had a situation where I've had to preach on the entirety of the Sermon on the Mount. We do the Beatitudes every year, or every 3 years, I'm sorry, in the year of Matthew. We do the business about salt and light every 3 years as well, because we take the Beatitudes, then we do the business about salt and light. And then there's this lengthy section where Jesus actually is discussing the difference between the righteousness of God and the righteousness of the Pharisees. And I never realized that's what Jesus was talking about. The verses we're now going to look at is actually Jesus saying, so here's why the righteousness of the Pharisees is not enough. But if you can believe it, Matt, after 70-some years, I never saw the connection because I never had to deal with it together. In fact, here's the thing that scares me. As I was looking up the lectionary, and for those who don't know, the lectionary is this series of lessons we're supposed to be reading, and it's set down there, and we do it in a cycle every 3 years. I was so surprised to see that what you are about to read a lot of times never gets read. Because unfortunately, Easter comes early. We have to truncate the season somewhere. So we cut off the last few Sundays in Epiphany. And these are the texts that you only hear on the last Sundays of Epiphany, which, as I'm rambling on too long, a lot of times we don't hear. So we could go maybe 6-9 years without hearing what you're now going to read. And this is the explanation why the righteousness of the Pharisees is not enough. If you could read, please, now, Matt, because again, we want to agree with Jesus. You made a great point there. Read verse 21.
Yeah. And just real quick, John, I'm just going to support what you said, you know, that, that's one of the drawbacks, I think, the lectionary is that we sometimes miss the greater context in which things are said. And so, as pastors, we've got our work cut out for us because, you know, how do we bring that to light and how do we, you know, bring that before people? One of the things I've done, it was like with confirmation class, is we're reading through this year Luke's gospel. So we begin each class with reading through Luke. So throughout the course of the year, we get through the whole book of Luke, because I think even in our Bible studies, we sometimes do that.
Yes.
Where we just maybe do a chunk here, a chunk there. And, you know, we and God's people don't get to hear a whole book start to finish. So thanks for bringing that up. Thanks for giving us the broader context of the Sermon on the Mount. John.
To show respect to Raymond Serberg, Professor Dr. Raymond Serberg, who is now sainted, that was always what he emphasized in his Old Testament class. You really should begin by reading the entire book, and then you can go back and look at portions of it. But as you said, you really need to see the whole picture.
Yeah.
So here's the whole picture. Jesus has just told us, keep the rules, but that's not enough. That's not enough righteousness. So here's what he's talking about. Read, if you would, verse 21 and 22.
You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the fire of hell."
So the righteousness of the Pharisees is you shall not murder. And who would argue with that? But it's not enough. Because If you're angry, then you're liable for judgment. If you call your brother a fool. Elsewhere, Jesus tells us, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer in your heart. Let me give you just one more example, and then we'll move on. If we would go down and read verse 27 and 28.
Sure. 27:28, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
So again, the Pharisees, righteousness, said, you shall not commit adultery. Who's going to argue with that? But, you know, Jesus points out that's not enough. That if you look at a woman and lust after her, you're already committed adultery in your heart. So let's go back to our original premise then. Let's go back to the words of Jesus, because we got a problem, Matt. Yeah. Okay. I'm an old guy, so I can say this. I know you're young yet, so maybe you don't want to acknowledge this. But, you know, even though I'm an old guy, when I see a good-looking young woman walking down the center aisle of the grocery store, yeah, even at my age and with my testosterone count barely above, you know, the lowest, yeah, I still have a lust. That does happen. And I'm a pretty easygoing guy. It's hard to get me pretty riled up. But there are times when I do get angry at people, you know? I mean, because people are stupid. Matt, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, John.
We encounter stupid people all
preach
the time.
Preach it, John.
Yeah.
You know, Lynn's not going to let you go to the grocery store anymore, John.
Well, she doesn't let me go out by myself. No. She says, you stay close to me. Actually, I'll tell you a quick story. It's the opposite problem with Lynn. So I'm walking down the grocery store. Oh, there Lynn is talking to some guy. And I thought, oh, it's probably some guy she knows from Emmanuel, where she was principal at. And says, I don't want to get in the middle of that conversation. Let him talk. It turns out later the guy was hitting on her. What? And she said, why doesn't John come and save me from this guy? But
there's something about grocery stores. Oh, boy.
I can tell you a story about that, but we can't do it on Wrestling with the Basics. But anyway, so here's the thing. Anybody who's honest about these, and we could go on. We could read more of the stuff that Jesus talks about because, you know, the old principle was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And Jesus says, well, that's just a bunch of baloney. No, you ought to love your enemies. You got to pray for your enemies. If you're just doing good to people who do good to you, that's anybody does that. Even sinners do that, see? So but that's the problem. So apparently the righteousness necessary to be salt and to be light is not something that is within our flesh. And that's what I love about Paul. You know, people find this so disturbing, they try to explain it away. But Paul said, the good I want to do, I don't. And the evil I don't want to do, I do. And anybody who's honest with themselves and the law of God would acknowledge that, no, none of it, we're all sinners. That's what Paul says. And again, so we can add to the list. You don't want to disagree with Jesus. You don't want to disagree with God. And you also don't want to disagree with the Apostle Paul.
Apostle Paul.
And that's what he says. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what's your thoughts about that, Ben? Any comments? Or?
Yeah, you know, I think the phrase that's used here in when it's talking about anger and lust, it says, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Yeah. And Jesus, as you pointed out, is talking about the Pharisees and others, man-made things. You know, he's not talking about the Old Testament, right? Because he would have said, it is written, right?
Oh, but good instead, point, yes.
Instead, he uses this different phrase, you have heard that it was said. So he's not talking about Scripture itself. He's talking about these traditions and the Pharisees. So I think that's good to point out that Jesus emphasizing, yeah, if you really want to be saved by the law, you know, you're going to have to do even better than the law-keeping Pharisees who have made up rules even. And, you know, Jesus' point, much of it here in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount is, you know, you can't do that. You ain't going to do it, right? You're never going to be good enough on your own.
That is a profound insight, though, that it's what has been said as opposed to what has been written. Because that's the big problem. They have their traditions, but that's not the commandments of God. Yeah. So let's go back, though, because I think Jesus has an answer for us. Again, it's found in his words. Let's see if I can find it now. Oh, yeah, right back at the beginning there where Jesus talks about not abolishing the law. Verse 17.
Yeah. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them.
Ah, yeah. See, there's the thing. So Jesus isn't going to get rid of the law. Jesus isn't going to come and say, oh, just do whatever you damn well please. I don't care. No, the law is important. The law convicts us of our sin. But Jesus says, what's he come to do, Matt? What's he come to do? Yeah. What's it say there?
So you fulfill the law.
Yeah. Because we're not going to fulfill it. And again, that's not an excuse to say we shouldn't try. No, don't. People, isn't that crazy? But Paul writes about people who said that. Well, yeah, we've got grace and forgiveness, so we just do whatever we want to do. And Paul said, no, absolutely not. That's not what I'm teaching. I certainly know what we're teaching on Wrestling with the Basics. But we are teaching people that Jesus has fulfilled the law for us. That's a done deal. And he fulfilled it perfectly. Everything that's talked about here in the Beatitudes, he has done absolutely, fully, and completely. And not only did he fulfill the law in terms of doing it, but he also fulfilled the punishment that comes with the law. Because the punishment that comes with the law is death and damnation and hell. And that's exactly what Jesus suffered on the cross in its fullest extent. The only believer could ever say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? No other believer can say that, because we haven't been. We haven't been in Jesus Christ. But he was. He was absolutely experienced hell. And all so that he could say, look, I fulfilled it. I fulfilled it. So now I'm going to come back to you with the more difficult question as we wrap up this episode. So how does that change then what it looks like to be salt and what it looks like to be light of the earth?
Yeah, well, I think in a couple ways. Well, one, I think a realization that being salt and light isn't what determines our salvation, right?
Oh, good.
The degree of my saltiness, the brightness of my light, does not determine salvation. Because we could think that way, right?
Yeah,
the saltier
exactly.
I am, the better chance I have of heaven. The brighter my light shines, you know, the more likely I am I'm going to be with the Lord, right? I'm going to, you know, be in heaven with him. So it's not that. No. So Jesus' words remind us that, no, he's the one who fulfills the law, not us. So it's not our brightness or our saltiness that gets us to heaven. So I think that's one thing we learned from this.
All right. And man, that's a profound insight, Matt, because that would be the natural consequence. All right. So the pastor said I'm supposed to keep the law. Jesus has kept it and forgive me. But now I guess I better really start keeping the law in order to get a good place in heaven. But no, you're right. No,
it's
he's fulfilled. That's not that for you to do.
Yes.
You said there was another thing, though.
So, and what a relief that is. Jesus fulfilled it, so now I'm just free to shine and be salty. You know, not because I have to earn heaven, but just because that's good, and Jesus says to do it. But I think the other thing for me is, you know, what's the purpose of being salt? Or who are we being salt and light for, right?
Yeah.
You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You know, so I think sometimes we preach and emphasize, you know, the world is bad. And when we think about the fallen world, well, it is pretty bad, you know, right? But you know, we don't hate the world because of that. We don't try to avoid living in the world even because of that. But instead, because of that, we strive to be salt in the earth, right? We strive to be light in the world, wherever we're at, because Jesus loves the world, right? You know, as fallen as it is, including us. And so now we love that world too, in that we are the salt of the earth, we are the light of the world, so that, you know, the world might be changed, hopefully for the better, and ultimately pointed to Christ, right, and our Father in heaven, verse 16, because of our salt and because of our light.
So the thing is we don't come to people and say, look how much better I am.
No.
See what a good guy I am, how great I am. No, we come to the world and say, look, we understand about lust. We know what anger is all about. No one's denying that these are things that we struggle with. And unfortunately, sometimes we fail at as well. But we know how to deal with that. And as you already said, it's not about us trying harder. Because believe you me, we've tried harder. And yet we still keep falling back into this sin because of our flesh. But there is a way to overcome that. And it is the way of God's love and God's forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that you just alluded to verse 16, but read verse 16 again, because I think that hits it right on the head, verse 16.
Yeah, I think it's important. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
So here's the difficult thing, and I would acknowledge that it is difficult, but again, it's another thing that we need God's forgiveness for. See, we need to do good works. That's clearly established, right? Do your good works. No one's denying that. But the thing is to do them in such a way that people don't say, oh, Matt and John, you are just the most wonderful hosts of radio shows that there are, which, of course, people do say all the time, but what?
Usually in the grocery store, ironically.
That's right. If they recognize me, they hear my voice and, oh, you're part of that wonderful Wrestling with a Basic show. But, of course, no, that's the point. We don't want people telling us how good we are, even though we are doing good works. But we want people to give glory to our Father who is in heaven. We hope, and I hope we do a good job of that here with Wrestling with the Basics, of helping people understand it's not that Matt and I are all that good. No, if you actually could see into our sinful flesh, you'd realize, oh, that's kind of ugly looking. And I'm not just talking about my face. But man, as you said before, it's all been covered over by the blood and the mercy of Jesus Christ. You and I truly, and the people that are listening to us too, I hope they understand that. You are truly, completely, totally forgiven by God. You know, he's not up there in heaven saying, well, if you get to be a little better, maybe I'll love you. No, he's saying, look, I love you. And I loved you when you weren't all that good. But now, thanks to the work of the Holy Spirit and thanks to my word, there are good works that are being done. They are being good. But they're not being done in such a fashion that people are going to praise us, which is always the big temptation, that it also becomes a thing of pride for us. But no, they're being done in the end so that people will give. How did Bach sign everything he had? Sola Dei Gloria? I don't know the Latin, but all glory be to God.
Yes.
Okay, Matt, anything else you want to add? Because we still got a minute and a half.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, I think as Lutherans, we emphasize Jesus, what we sometimes call as passive obedience, right? Yeah. He allows himself to be nailed to a cross, for instance. But here it's talking more about his active obedience, really, right? His fulfilling of the law for us, which is important, too. And we see that he does that leading up to the Sermon on the Mount, right? His temptation in the wilderness and his obedience, his baptism, right? Not for himself, really, but for us even. His obedience fulfilling everything, all righteousness even there. So everything that Jesus does, even leading up to the cross, is for our salvation and him keeping the laws. He lives that perfect life. So, thanks be to God for fulfilling what he preaches on in the Sermon on the Mount perfectly, and he does it for us.
And here, let me add one final thought, Matt. So what does Jesus say? He says, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. And I would suggest he's still doing that today through you and me and all of our listeners. See, if the work is really coming to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of Christ, so the glory is given to Father, that literally means that right now, right here, right today, we are going to be part of the fulfillment of the law, not by our works, but through Jesus Christ. He's actually using us to accomplish what he says in this text, which was to fulfill the law. Well, thank you for joining us. This has been another episode of Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.